Welcome to Her Bro, His Sis, a podcast hosted by sibling ministers discussing topics of faith and family.
Happy birthday. This is such an unexpected gift to be able to be here with you today because I didn't know, you didn't know, that we would be planning this episode to record live on your actual birthday. So I'm just so beyond elated to be here with you. And this topic is so close to your heart. So
it's a double gift.
Yes. So I'm going to pass the buck to you at this point so that you can just kind of give us the table, set the table for us about what the subject is and what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. So, again, thank you so much for being here, first and foremost. But yeah, fellowship is the spiritual discipline we're covering today. And I'm glad that we get to fellowship, obviously, on today. But it's such a critical topic because I think that when we think about the state of the church, like the church struggles, in my opinion, with how to actually live out true, godly, biblical fellowship. And so I'm just stirred to just continue the conversation. It's been, like you said, something for me that's been near and dear to my heart for, probably half a decade now. Mm-hmm. And so just thinking about just where the church is, even where I've come from in my faith and just what I wish I had at certain times, and even walking along Christians just thinking, wow, is this it? You know what I'm saying? Like, is this all we have? Is this all we are? And so really it's just, I think walking through faith, my life has been impacted, whether I even knew it or not. Mm-hmm. Whether I had fellowship or not, mm-hmm. It's definitely been something I think has been something that I've wanted to grow in, and then really just walk alongside the church as the church grows in this. So it's definitely near and dear to my heart for many reasons.
So one thing I know you're going to get into, but I have to say at the very beginning, because I need people to understand, like you're saying, this has been lacking from the church for a long time. I feel like people don't get that. They think fellowship is just, I came to church on Sunday, mm-hmm. so how am I not fellowshipping?
Yes.
So that's a difference than assembling yourself yes. together.
Yes. Yes.
And fellowship.
Fellowship is not I saw
so, so I'm not trying to like lead you there right now, but I feel like it's necessary to address at some point where you see fit, because people hearing that are like, I mean, I go to church every however often they go, and they think automatically I'm getting that in and I'm checking that box because I went to the building where other churchgoers are at. Mm-hmm. So
And I think it's probably fitting now because it kind of defines fellowship. So fellowship is not, hey, I see you. and I think that's kind of been the norm. And even if you did come to church and assume that was fellowship, like how quick is it that most of us come late, right? So we missed the first couple of worship songs. Everybody's already in the building, so you're not really getting that meet and greet in the beginning. And then you just walk out. So how often are you staying at the church even to have that dialogue? So just walking into the church in and of itself is not really fellowship. But if you intend that time, it could be fellowship. But what are you doing with that time when you're there? Like, are you electing to say, hey, I'm going to go 30 minutes early and really get it in? Mm-hmm. Afterwards, like, as we hear the sermon, like, I want to be praying with people and be intentional. Like, hey, like, so you heard that. Like, is there anything I could be praying with you about? We'll be thinking mm-hmm. about you this week. Things like that. Like, we're not thinking naturally. And not to say nobody does it, so I don't want to. To criticize the whole church, but I think by and large we don't think about church as like I'm going to church to think about fellowship. I'm going to church. I'm gonna get it in. Like I need the word right now. I need worship. So I'm going for myself and not thinking about the fact that like there's an entire body that is also collectively coming for that reason.
Right.
And why am I not thinking about others in the midst of that time? So I think fellowship has just become a thing where we just naturally assume just by being around other mm-hmm. Christians that we check the box and we're not even really fulfilling the needs of being the one another's to each mm-hmm. other. So that's really where it starts for me. It's like, I've been around Christians my entire life. Mm-hmm. Like I got saved at a very young age. My entire adult life was in ministry, as have you been. And so just to think about the fact that we've been around church,
mm-hmm.
but we ain't been around fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've been around the fellowship and we assume, like you said, the fellowship is the fellowship, mm-hmm. but it's not. That's just like, okay, you're around the right crowd. Now find out what you do with that crowd.
Yeah.
And so we miss that last piece. It's like, what do we do when we're together? And
yeah.
So that's really where the road meets the road for me. It's like, I love the church. Mm-hmm. Like, my heart bleeds for the church. I got saved, and, like, immediately, like, I was adopted family. And so, for me, like, now how do we make it feel like a family? Like, I don't want to just show up. Mm-hmm. Like, how are we in this together? And I feel we've just missed that so many times. And so I just love to talk about this topic because, and especially as a man, like, I mean, as a woman, like, you probably have different levels of fellowship. And I've asked many women, like, hey, like, you know, describe what it is like, you know, when you're hanging around with your girls, like, us dudes, like, we don't talk even outside the church. You know what I'm saying? So just because you bring faith in it, don't make it easier to talk. It actually makes it more difficult. Like, so I feel like men struggle with fellowship a lot more than women because you're already naturally talking and you tell your business. Like, I ain't telling you a daggone thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Especially when you add faith and all that into it. So when I think about women, like, they're already naturally vulnerable, so it becomes easier to just be like, oh, girl, like, I got you. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, let's hang out. Or, hey, I went with that too. And so I think for you guys, you have a different understanding and a different grace for fellowship. Whereas I think for us, like, we really have to try to realize, like, I need to talk to this dude. Like, I really need to be intentional, calling this guy. Like, we need to be vulnerable with one another. Mm-hmm. We need to share something. So I think that's really, like, even as I think about how much I want it, I'm around guys that have that same mindset. Like, we don't talk about our problems. We don't get it in like that. So, I mean, what have you been exposed to as you think about fellowship from the female perspective?
Well, what you're saying right now, I think the one thing that really kind of differentiates the connection with fellowship is the element of community. So, like, you can go to church and there's people there, but you're disconnected if you're not, like, uniting yourself with them and, like, forming a sense of community with them to where it's, like, you know them, they know you, and not just by I've seen your face before at the church, like, they know you by name, you start striking up conversations, you start learning some things about each other to develop a community relationship with each other to kind of, like, see what you have in common. Because obviously you're not just going to, like, tell your whole life story to the first person that you see at church. And, like, it's just automatic. But there's a sense that, like, we all came here for a reason in the first place. Mm-hmm. And just the same way, like, you meet friends that are not in your church, like, you connected with them some way, somehow, and you grew to become however close or tight-knit you are with that friend, right? So it's the same thing in the church that with women. To me, it's like I have natural friends that are not part of a church community. So, like, when we get together, there is a lack of fellowship per se because the godly component. And so, again, since this is a topic of spiritual disciplines, right? Every discipline that we do outside of the Lord is just a discipline, but it's not spiritual until the Lord is involved. So I'm over here, like you always say, just because we go eat together at Denny's does not mean like we're talking about the Lord and that's fellowship. Right? Like, us having a meal at Denny's is a meal at Denny's unless we're getting it in about the Lord, right? Or we're getting it in about our life and we're counseling each other, bearing one another's burdens, we're advising one another, or someone at least is trying to counsel somebody in the Lord, right? So to me, there are natural relationships that I have where this is just a regular get together. We're catching up. We like each other. It's fine. But then there are certain people who are in the kingdom family that when we get together, we are genuinely connecting at the heart. We are genuinely checking in about life affairs. We are genuinely getting into the word. I mean, I feel like the strongest connections are people that I've walked with or that have walked with me through dark and hard, challenging seasons of life. Because that's where, you know, you really grow close to somebody is when it's hard. Mm-hmm. But when you're over here with a superficial, shallow relationship, like, you're a cool person, but you can't carry me nowhere, right? Like, you can't carry me through the valley of the shadow of whatever I'm going through because you're not giving me the Lord. Yeah. So I feel like that element of community is what makes the difference because this is just like we know each other, we're cool with each other. But the community feel is like when we are like have a common cause. And even if you look in real community outside of the church, community causes are people that rally about a particular cause in the community that they all live in, right? So again, religion in that type is not even a factor. It's like we're all here for safety, the neighborhood watch. That's a community thing. Or this is over here for, you know, people against drunk driving. They're all here for that cause. Well, in the church, we're all here for the Lord. Mm. So that community element
is stop right there. Stop right there. Because when you say, like, okay, like, all these causes, like, if I show up to a neighborhood watch committee, like, that's all we're talking about is neighborhood watch.
Yes.
Like, hey, man, I saw some dude walking. Yeah, I saw him too. Like, that's the whole conversation.
Come on here.
Yeah, when we come to church, God is not our conversation for the most part. Like, sports. Which is sad.
Right.
And I had a guy, and I think we shared it on a podcast one time, like, he challenged me one time. I don't even think he said it to me specifically, but he said it, and it was so convicting to me. Is like, the first thing we say when we get out of church is like, hey, what do you want to eat? Like, we both heard a challenging message, whether it was convicting or just like a reminder or whatever the case is, and we're like, hey, man, so you hungry? Like, what you doing today? How's your week going to be? Like, man, it's hot out here, ain't it? Like, nothing about the Lord, but like, we all came, like, man, we need worship. We need to get it in. But as soon as we leave, it's like, okay, so did you worship? Like, what was in there? Like, what was the effect of that? And it's so far forgotten. And it reminds me of that scripture, like, you know, when you walk up in a mirror and then immediately when you leave, you forget who you are.
Yes.
Are we forgetting that we came for the Lord when we walked into church? Are we forgetting that fellowship is the component in the community that connects us to the faith?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not doing that? We're amongst those who are in here for that particular situation. So that's just so profound to think about the fact that the church is mixed up of so many different people, and yet we all have a different agenda when we come in. And it's a shame that we can't get unified when that is the basis of fellowship, is unity. So if we don't get that part right, we're going to come in here and not think about, oh, okay, what you're going through. Like, I came here for me, and I'm going to leave. Like, and just, I'm not going to think about us being a body collectively. So that's so good.
Wow. Well, I know that we have some actual scripture that, like, anchors this from Acts chapter 2. So can you kind of walk us through that and, like, take us through this?
Yeah. So I just want to break it down, and we'll just stop at each one. We'll keep it nice and tight. But, I mean, really, when you think about fellowship, there's really some key scriptures you can hit. Obviously, Hebrews 10 is one of my favorites.
Of course.
And that really kind of speaks to everything we talked about already, about just being stirring one another to love and good works. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to do that, the essence of fellowship is, are you stirring somebody? Like, are you provoking somebody in your activity? Not to say that you're provoking them in a negative sense, but what is the provocation in your conversation?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't mean to say that, so we can go ahead and make that. That's came out.
Noted.
So, that was all freestyle. So, Acts chapter 2 is where we just want to land and just kind of let the Spirit move there. But as you think about Acts 2, there's 6 verses, and so I think each verse has a different component of fellowship that I think if we could really, like, hit these and just hone into these as a body, I think we would do ourselves so much better as we think about what fellowship genuinely is. So I'll just read the passage, and then we'll just go into each one when we want, and just let's just chop it up. So Acts 2, 42 through 47. I'm going to be reading KJV because I like how the words really,
yes, Lord,
really pull out.
Yes,
so I'm going to go old school.
Yes, come on with it.
And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold the possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So if we can master this, obviously this is the early church, and it was much success, and the Bible says the Lord added to them daily, it would behoove us to think about what was going on here, to think, we don't see daily addition.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Not to say that our churches are not growing and we're not seeing fruit, and not to say that we have to have daily fruit or daily growth, but I think if we think about the fact that that was essential to, there was fruit, that the Lord was blessing them, that there was favor there, what were they doing? Let's just get into it. So, verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So, the first one is the focus, and they continued steadfastly. So we're going to start with F, so the 6 F's of fellowship. So be real easy to remember, but they continued steadfastly. So to me, and I love the word steadfast in the King James, but they attended constantly. Like, it was nonstop focus, and they were committed to 4 things. They're committed to doctrine, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayers. And I know we always talk about that Denny's example, because I remember growing up, especially like, you know, a young believer, like, we were at Denny's all the time at the church, 24 hours. I mean, you could see anybody even after morning service.
Right.
Like, Denny's was popular with Christians. And you would just assume, man, that's fellowship. Yeah, I'm a fellowship with my brothers. Like, didn't matter what you did, the fact that you went to Denny's, you were fellowshipping.
Yes.
Let me just say that based on Acts 2:42, that is not the case, because here it says you're devoted to four things, the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread, which is separate from fellowship and prayers. So that lends itself to say that food can be a component of fellowship, but fellowship in and of itself is not breaking of bread. So let me just make sure that when you define fellowship, it's not Denny's. Denny's can be a component of fellowship, but if you're just going to Denny's, fellowship has to have its own definition that you're doing fellowship while you're at Denny's. So yes. You're breaking bread and fellowshipping.
Yes.
That I think we have to understand and separate the two. So that's why I think when I grew up, I attributed fellowship to like, yeah, just go and eat with people, to just hang out. Like, it's fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't understand what fellowship by definition is,
yeah.
There's a unity and a community to fellowship that is beyond yes. having to be like, we're not eating right now.
Yes.
And yet there's going to be fellowship. So just subtracting or adding food doesn't equal fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not food and saints equal fellowship. So go ahead real quick. Let me get you.
The only thing I really want to add to this part, because you're on a roll, the only thing I want to think about is in homes that have families that dine together, and I'm not trying to talk about like what the makeup of the family is, because that part is not as relevant as the entire point of what I'm about to say is, though. I personally enjoy, and I know that you do this, and so I am saying this because it's important that when families can dine together, having their dinners together, not saying that every meal can be had together, breakfast is on the run because mm-hmm. school and work, or people leave at different times, or what have you, but dinners, being able to go home and eat your dinners together as a family is something that's super important. And so, as you're saying, a component, so eating together means we're all together in that moment, but like you do a little bit different because you also try to have that, A, we are praying because mm-hmm. we bless the food, mm-hmm. we're eating together, and then you have this thing where sometimes you tie in like a conversation that is about the Lord or some kind of way to connect to how was your, you know, day, like kind of checking in with somebody. It's stuff that we would do if we were actually dining in fellowship
right.
with someone else outside at a restaurant, right? So it's not just like we're kicking it at the dining table. You know, it's important that we're together,
yes.
but that meal is ministry
mm-hmm.
and it starts at home. Don't they
yes.
say that family
yes.
and ministry starts at home? So if you don't have it right at home, how can you really get it right outside of the home? So it's just kind of like that concept, if that makes any kind of sense.
Yes. So I guess a good way to put it is that the meal sets the table for fellowship.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because I think we actually think just come to the table and that's all.
Yes.
You have to know what you're doing to be
yes.
intentional when you get to the table. So that's why I think they put it here, because in that culture, food was an important element because they didn't just eat with everybody. So
right.
if I'm bringing you to the house, we already have a little connection there. So by you already coming in to my intimate setting,
yes.
now we can get it in with fellowship.
Yes.
And we will talk about the apostle doctrine and prayer and all these other things. But food was just basically just the way to get you
mm-hmm.
in. It was the foundation. You still got to do something when you eat. You
yes.
know what I'm saying? Because I could eat a meal and not say a word and just
mm-hmm.
munch my mouth. You know what I'm saying? So we have to understand that that's just the bare minimum
mm-hmm.
is eating. You got to do something when you eat.
Yes.
So, yeah, I love that.
And even when you're bringing someone out who's not necessarily part of the family, you're feeding your physical body, but then you also can offer food to their
yes.
spirit while they're sitting there,
yeah.
right? So
that's good. Yeah, that's all I got on that.
That's all I
yeah.
have.
So focus. Focus, I think, is super important. So they continued steadfastly in those things. So just to, I guess, kind of cap that, are we doing those four things consistently?
Mm-hmm.
Are we inviting people over for meals? Are we praying? Are we devoted to the Word of God? Are we devoted to community? Those are things I think we have to think about when we think about fellowship. Is it something that we're committed to? Do we
yeah.
care about being amongst others and having that community? So,
can I also add one thing, though?
Oh, yeah,
because
sure.
in order to be devoted to something, you have to enjoy it or be delighted
yes.
in it. So if we can even add that element, devoting and delighted to instruction or doctrine, right, and fellowship,
mm-hmm.
and the meal, and the prayer. So if all we care about is the food, but we don't enjoy praying,
mm-hmm.
if all we care about is the food and we don't really like the word, we already heard the word, we don't want to keep talking
mm-hmm.
about the word. Actually, we
yes.
do, because
yes.
that's meditating the word
yes.
day and night, right? And obviously, fellowship is the capsule of all of those things. So therefore, if the other three components aren't there because we only want the one component, then we don't even have fellowship because you need all those things. Mm. I'm done for real now.
That's good. I am going to add one. That's for me. I'll keep going. Verse 43, the F is the fear. And so it says, and fear came upon every soul. So obviously we understand the fear of God to be a reverence or respect. So the fact that you're devoted to these four things, and I love how you just kind of capped it off there at the end, that because there's a devotion and a love, you now have a respect for the Lord. Mm-hmm. So again, if you don't love the Lord, you're not going to respect his word. Mm-hmm. If you don't love the Lord, you're not going to respect his people. If you don't love the Lord, you're just going to be eaten. You know what I'm saying? So it makes it very simple to say again, like, if we understand that fellowship is a component of faith, if there's no faith in it, then it's just a natural what you typically do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you can't do the other things without a relationship with God. So the only thing that you can attribute fellowship to is eating, because you don't have a spiritual understanding of, hey, I need to be doing something while I'm with these people. Mm-hmm. Hey, like, it's not just, hey, I got saved and okay, now I'm just living life and I'm going to heaven in mm-hmm. 60 years. Like, yeah. It's, what are you doing while you're here? Like, how are you looking like heaven while you're preparing for heaven?
Yeah.
And I think we're missing that piece. And so there's not a respect for the things of God. There's not a reverence for God. I think we look at God so, unfortunately, I think we look at God negatively, where he's a judge, where he's this high being that is so powerful that we don't know how to comprehend that. And so it's a negative fear that we fear him in such a way. It's like, okay, like, I'll just leave him alone until I need him. We don't respect him and have the awe as he's also a father. He's mm-hmm. also a friend. He's also a comforter. He's also these other positive attributes that he wants to be close and intimate to us. So we don't have an intimate relationship with him because we don't see him as an intimate God. Mm-hmm. We just see him as a all-powerful God. So we see him in an unhealthy fear and out of respect for him. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think about just the fear related to fellowship?
So definitely a fear of awe. You explained that perfectly. But that awe should be something that causes you to delight, that causes you to desire more of God, more of fellowship, more of instruction, more of doctrine, more of godly things, right? And so what the verse that came to me as you were saying that is Proverbs 1:7 that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. So as we just read in 42 about devoting to doctrine, another word of doctrine is instruction. So if you look at that verse from Proverbs that says fools are people who despise wisdom and instruction, and what is wisdom? Wisdom is the skillful application of the information, which would be doctrine or instruction that you received and comprehended. So therefore, if you don't want to receive instruction, information, comprehension, then you don't want to be saved, truly. I mean, because you can't be a fool and fellowship. Mm. You can't, because it requires the Lord. So fools despise wisdom, which comes from God, and instruction, which is doctrine, that comes from God. So you can't be a fool and fellowship.
Wow. We got four more, so maybe Mike dropping in the middle.
I
think
Mike dropping
in the middle of the podcast. Episode 2 next week. Wow, that's good. I like that. Can't be a fool and fellowship. So I like how you said that all should cause you to delight. So I think about the things that I do delight in. Like when I go to a museum or an observatory and I think about space, like, wow, like, this is fascinating. Like, yes. I want to know more. Like, do we have a fascination for God that then presses our heart to say, like, I'm going to lean in a little deeper. Like, we're actually just like, okay, that was a good sermon. And then we walk away. Like, we don't, it doesn't penetrate in such a way where we're like, wow.
Yes.
Let me get up in here a little more.
Right.
We're not studying deeper as a result of the things that we hear that are deep. Like, every week I'm hearing something from somebody that's like, wow. Like, and it's challenging me to be like, okay, like, let me, like, go ahead and read that whole chapter now that you done said that. Like, you gave me a snippet.
Yes.
Like, let me get in there.
Yes.
Let me find a devotion on that. That's where we have to get to. And I love the thought that came to me when you were talking about that is back to verse 42. When you're devoted to these things, And you said you can't be a fool in fellowship. Is like, are we allowing other people to become a fool? Because that's where our fellowship comes in. Is if we're unified, I ain't gonna let you be a fool around me. You know, like, I'd be looking like that. Like, I'm gonna have to be like, hey man, like, that's where we're rushing each other. We're coming around like Galatians 6:1 that says, like, you who are spiritual, you know, bring your brother back, restore your brother. So if that's us when we're in fellowship, we should be devoted to these things and say, okay, when you're not devoted, like, hey, like, are you praying, brother? Like, are you, you know, are you in the Word? Like, how can I encourage you, back to Hebrews 10, how can I stir you to love and good works? That's the essence of when we know what fellowship looks like, we can then point to ourselves and others and say, we need to get back to these four things. Because if we have these pillars right, everything else falls in line. Yeah. Because when you love the Lord, you're going to live like the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? And so... so good.
And also, like, you're talking about restoring people who aren't devoted, but what about people who are? Iron sharpens iron. And how are we sharpening them? With the Word. And you said that faith was a component of fellowship. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. So it's, you can't get outside of the Word. Like, we need the Word if we're going to fellowship.
Yes.
Don't even tell me about fellowship if you ain't trying to hear the Word.
Yes.
Period.
And that was first, the Apostles' doctrine. Like, if you ain't trying to hear doctrine,
we're done.
Then I don't know what you're practicing. If you know, you know what I'm saying? Because that's all I got. You know what I'm saying? So good.
Ooh, you know what? Wow, this has blew my mind.
You gotta say it.
Fellowship or fellowship?
Ooh, stop it. That's deep. That's another
I'm
one.
Let so that, yeah, I'm gonna yeah, let
another,
that. I'm gonna
another
just
another
let
one.
That breathe. I'm gonna let that breathe. But it's literally right there.
Yeah. Call y'all back on that one.
If you know,
wow.
you know.
Yes, that's good. Wow.
Yeah, off
camera, we're talking about this. Yeah, we're going. That's extra credit. I'm with you, so we go fellowship after this. Over some food.
With the Word of God.
Yes. Please believe. We're doing all four of these bad boys. 44. The F is the fellowship. So obviously we've already been talking about that. But it says, and all that believed were together and had all things common. So nobody was left out. There was a unity. And just like you talked about Neighborhood Watch, these different clubs, like there was a component, a fellowship that had to do with commonality and a unity. So those two things, I think, when you think about fellowship is, and you said it beautifully, is you hang out with people all the time that are not in the faith, and it's just a meal. Y'all just kidding. Shooting the breeze, whatever the case is. And not to say we can't have those relationships.
Right.
Just don't call it fellowship.
Exactly.
Okay? You
exactly.
cannot. It has to have certain components. Like, unfortunately, fellowship is, by definition, not friendship. You can go back to that particular podcast, and we didn't already hash that out. So we talked about what ship are you on, friendship or fellowship.
I literally just wrote that right there. Who are the fellows on your ship?
Yes.
I was going to say that, but since you did it, thank you.
That was first season one, and so there's two different ships, and so yes, we have friendships, and not to say that you can't be a friend on the fellowship, but my friends on the fellowship, we will be fellowshipping. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to be on that ship, you got to understand, like, the ship has these four rudders, and this is how we get down.
Right.
What you got to say?
All I'm gonna say is, look, if you don't like the Word, if you don't like the prayer, those are the main two things. That's just you're just letting it be known right there where you really are. Everything else,
this
speaks for itself. So I'm not going to even ride that.
And
I'm not saying, like, I'm not trying to make it like it has to be forced, because again, this stuff should be natural. It should be stuff that comes out of us. Like, we don't try to, like, we're not trying to do this.
Yes.
This is who we are, and it is what we do. So this is what comes out. And so you shouldn't have to, like, okay, I'm going to be intentional to fellowship. Let me see how I can force, you know, this part or this part or this part. It's not about that. It literally is a natural, whatever is in you is what's going to be among your crew. So even as you say in your group, this group, every time y'all get together, you already know what it's going to be with these particular people. So
it's funny that you said that about that it's not forced, that it's not something that you're trying to think about, like it's just, it's natural. I might have to start identifying people as fellows or friends. Like, are you a friend or are you a fellow? And the reason why I say that is because there are believers that I know that I don't fellowship with.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad, but I don't fellowship with them. Why? Because there's not a commonality and there's not a unity.
Mm-hmm.
When you said it doesn't need to be forced, I'm going to walk back to Hebrews 10, 24, mm-hmm. or 23 through 25, because I think it's important for people to understand why this is a burden for me. Because again, like,
yeah.
I have friends, and I say that term loosely, but I have mm-hmm. friends that are no longer practicing faith.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people that when times get tough, they're out or they're struggling. This passage, like for me, and again, like I got saved, no mentor, no disciple. I had a Bible and Jesus. And I was like, Lord, if this is for real, like I read the gospel, so I was like, dude, if you was parting seas, if you was out here,
yes.
like withering fig trees, and you said just have faith, I'm going to have faith. Right. Because if you said a mustard seed is little, I can give you a little.
Yeah.
You know, so then I get to this point where I'm now 25 years in, and I'm like, am I still having, like, baby Christians around me? Like, mm-hmm. we can go to Hebrews 5, you know what I'm saying? And we already know what time it is in Hebrews 5. Like, how we feel about, you know, move yourself on for the elementary
yes.
truths. Like, so we know people that stay babies in Christ.
Right.
But I love this passage because, and why I get stirred so much, and this has been my favorite passage by far for the last 5 years because of what it says. So it says, this Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. So most people, when they read this, don't usually keep 23 in it. They'll go with 24 and 25. Like, let us consider how to stir one another in love and good word. They'll say that. They'll say, don't forsake the assembly of the brethren. Like,
mm-hmm.
And usually pastors saying, like, come to church.
Right,
like,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But I keep 23 in this because you have to understand why the other two are important. So, like, if you're going to say, let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works. Like, why do I need to stir you to love and good works? Because, again, we've seen people where their faith was shipwrecked. We've seen people that are just like, I don't really know what it is. We've seen people who come to faith and, like, nobody mentors or disciples
mm-hmm.
them. And so they don't even know what faith is, but they're still trying to come and be committed. And they're here every week, and they're wishy-washy, but they still want to come. They have a Bible. They don't know how to interpret it. And
mm-hmm.
they're looking and they're searching. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Like, you stir people to love and good works because you want to hold fast to the confession of your hope. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when you see people that are, like, struggling, I'm like, do you have a fellow? Like, if you had
yeah.
a fellow, you know what I'm saying? Like, where would you be if you had a fellow that was devoted to the word and prayer,
mm-hmm.
that could yield the word and then be like, hey, in your situation, like, we're going to stay hopeful because
yeah.
this is, thus saith the Lord. Like,
yeah.
when you have that, it changes everything for you. Like, I've been through tons of stuff
mm-hmm.
where it was just the word that was like, thank
yes.
you, Lord. Like,
seriously.
That's all. Like, had I not had this, I wouldn't have been in the church.
Right.
So, and you said it earlier, like, you have to love the word in order to love the Lord.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In order to make it through situations, you have to come back to this.
Mm-hmm.
So, verse 23 is everything to me because when I talk about stirring one another to love and good works, like, I'm not stirring that just on my own. Oh, you can do it. I'm saying,
yes.
like, man, the Lord has strengthened you and gifted
yes.
you. Like, you are called. And, like, I believe in the gifts that the Lord has stirred up in you. And, like, I'm giving you scripture. Because,
yes.
like, I can say some stuff as a cheerleader. But, like, when I give you word,
yeah.
like, that the Lord has promised you, like, that's connecting. Again, us coming back to, like, an organic and synergistic
mm-hmm.
Situation that, like, because we're connected in faith, like, you're like, man, like, I received that.
Yes.
And there's no, like, superficial, like, oh, yeah, man, I'm just say Christian cliche, like,
right?
You feel it because God has already promised that to you. You feel it in your spirit, and I'm bringing that back
you.
Up. Yes, I'm bringing that
reminders
back up.
Reminders and revelations.
So, yeah, what do you have to say about that?
So that just gives the distinction of the intentionality versus the forceful nature of it, right? But what I get is the distinction between the two is a posture of the heart. So the intentionality is like thoughtfulness, because you're saying, let me consider
mm-hmm.
thoughtfulness of my heart, how can I be intentional to do
mm-hmm.
these things? But forceful is, I have to do this because the Bible says, or because so-and-so keeps saying or harping on it. That's a different posture, because now I'm doing this grudgingly
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, no, I really want to do this. So I just think that just that distinction of heart posture,
mm-hmm.
which is why you are so passionate about it. Like, your heart is already positioned and postured to where this is important, and you have a true connection to it because you experience a lack thereof, mm-hmm. and you also don't want others to have your same experience.
Absolutely.
But God has been able to not only nurture you, provide all those things, but also strengthen you in such a way that you can help yourself, but then help somebody else on all those components. So that's what I got out of that whole thing, is just the posture of the heart is what makes the difference. Intentionality is not forceful. Forcefulness is a grudging type of a spirit.
That's good. Yeah. And then I'll just end with verse 25, obviously not forsaking our own assembly together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another. So when you're in fellowship, you want to encourage again, because verse 23 said,
mm-hmm.
you want to prevent wavering. And so the encouragement is because we see the day approaching here. We know that perilous mm-hmm. times are coming, that things are getting deeper and grimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And so us having folks around us is essential to us growing and being sanctified in Christ. So it's
right.
not just like, hey, I just want to hang around. Like, I love people genuinely.
Yes.
Not just because I love people, because I understand the fruit of being around. And I've seen not only the maturation, I've seen I learn from people,
mm-hmm.
I grow from people, I observe, I'm watching, I'm alert, I'm fed. Like, there's times where, like, if I'm getting it in true, godly, especially one-on-one, like, if I'm getting it in,
mm-hmm.
I won't eat.
Right.
Like, that is, like, genuinely, like, I fasted while I was with you because, like,
seriously.
I legitimately, like, was so close to God while I was with you. I'm not even hungry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, but that's like where the Lord said, I have meat that you don't know about because I'm being fed. And what does the Bible say? That we should not live by bread alone,
mm-hmm.
but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So if we would start to consume the word and enjoy it as if it's our daily bread, like we're supposed to be praying for, give
mm-hmm.
us this day our daily bread,
mm-hmm.
then we would not feel so attached or so difficult to practice the fasting
mm-hmm.
discipline when it's time to fast. Hello, see
teach
how they're coming
it.
Together? You know? Oh,
love
my
it.
Goodness.
Love it. Love it.
All right, now we're at 45.
Man,
let's go.
Open. All right, 45 is the freedom. So it says, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. So the fact that they were able to give freely, they sold what they had. The good thing I like about that is the fact that it says two things. One, that they were willing to give to others, but that they were in a position to give, because it said that they gave to those who had need, which means that their needs were taken care
mm-hmm.
of. And they were in a position to give to someone else whose needs weren't taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a prosperity, not that they were born, but they were in a situation where they were able to sell, but also the reciprocation of knowing that when they had need, it was going to be given to them, because that was just the cycle of like, hey, like, I'm not concerned about what I have in the storehouse. Like, I'm going to give to you. And when the time is for me to need, like, someone's going to be there for me. Like, I trust the provision of God. So we, and especially in American and Western culture, like, we struggle with hoarding, and we have tons of things, and we have multiples of things, and that's just the lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
and you actually feel less than if you don't have a lot, whereas in this situation, they sold things of excess to be able to bless those who didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about the fact that you get to just store once and you have your needs taken care
mm-hmm.
of, but the fact that because you're so blessed that you're in a position to now give to others, and you are free to give it. And what I mean by free is that you liberally gave out of your heart and the abundance of your heart to say, I can give these things and sell my things to provide for somebody else. I think that's just super profound.
Wow.
And I actually heard of a local story where someone actually sold their car to be able to benefit someone else in need. So the fact that, I mean, that's just not something in Western culture that we're willing to do for others. I mean, if my neighbor walked up to me and said, hey, man, like, I need $1,000, like, would I sell my car? You know what I mean? Like, and so to think about things like that, I think that they had such an intimacy and a love for one another that it didn't matter what they were losing, because they had so much love for each other that they wanted to give, and there was
mm-hmm.
such a freedom in doing that. So your thoughts on that?
Ephesians 4. And I'm going to start at 16 and then I'm going to walk it backwards, because the part that you're saying about us being having a spirit of liberality or that spirit of generosity is what this verse just goes off like this for me. It's Ephesians 4 and 16. And it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto, this is the kicker, the edifying of itself in love. So this is saying that we as a body edify or build or strengthen ourselves up because we are connected, which means that the body is supposed to heal itself or strengthen itself in love. So if we walk back to verse 3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4 says, there is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. So we're all members of one body. So it's almost like saying if literally a piece of my body is injured or maimed or whatever, needing to be healed, the rest of the pieces of my body are going to literally physiologically do rally together to send all of its resources, blood supply, so on and so forth.
That not right, rally together right there. Are you kidding me right now?
To seriously heal itself, to edify itself in love.
So, you literally just wrote the exact same sentence I just wrote. You just said
that is
wrote
the
it.
Lord. That is seriously so the Lord.
Wow.
So I'm just gonna say these. I'm gonna let you have.
Oh, I have nothing to say. You're saying it. Yeah, I'm good. Go ahead. Keep rolling.
One God and one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Verse 11. And he gave some, and it lists the name: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. 12. What is their purpose? For perfecting the saints, the work of the ministry, and edifying the body of Christ. So edifying the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. So we are supposed to basically do all of those things to be able to help wherever the help is needed. I'm done.
I'm going to save my comments for...
I really cannot believe that, though.
Yeah.
I seriously cannot believe that.
Yeah.
See, y'all, see, this is what really happens in real life. Like, we're together right now, and this is happening in real life, real time. I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah. I'm going to save my comments for 47, because I think it'll kind of be a good a capping point. but we'll move on to 46. The F is the frequency, and it says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. So... I know we struggle with coming to church, especially in this culture. I mean, 10, 15 years ago when we were younger, we were at church 3-4 times a week. The culture today is services are no more than an hour, hour and 10 minutes. And it's like, they're structured. You know, churches are having multiple services. So you gotta get in and get out, and it's very compartmentalized. There's no more midweek services, no more Sunday night services. And not to say that's all bad, but if we are not taking those times that we would have naturally spent and finding other ways to be still the church, it's not to say you have to be in church every day, but church should be in you every day. So,
Rewind. It's not to say that you need to be in church every day, but hello, somebody.
Church needs to be in you.
Thank
every
you.
Day. So, all organic, that was not on here either. So, yeah, I say that to say that because we don't have church anymore, I think that we struggle with understanding the frequency of acting like the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the struggle for me, where if we don't stay committed to the things of God, it's going to be hard for us to act out the things of God when we're actually in the world or in settings with other believers where we're actually supposed to be fellowshipping. I think that's really where the struggle becomes. So just your thoughts on just even frequency or just speaking to where we are as a culture and just how we can get better at practicing what we do outside of the body.
You just said the word I wanted to say, practicing, which I wrote right here. So because we have less ability to do the daily with the extended kingdom family, we still should be practicing at home with who we can, who we have the ability to reach more frequently. So if you have an actual family within, like you actually, so this is a perfect example, you actually do have a family that you can do this with. So you should be practicing when you can't be with brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, and beyond, right? Because in general, everything else that we hear on a Sunday morning, we should not wait until next Sunday to practice. We learn it and we hear it so that we can practice it when we go home today, tomorrow, next week, next month, for the rest of our lives. So it's not just about whenever you can get with the group of individuals. You still should be finding a way to be able, even if it's on rotation, like you can't get with everybody, but like schedule, again, this is part of the intentionality. You know what your schedule looks like. You know when you can make it work. So if that's your neighbor next door and you do a meal with the neighbor, are you doing fellowship? Are we practicing all the components of fellowship with the meal with the neighbor? Are we doing it with whoever we can, however many times a week that we're able to do it? So the time amount that we have does not disqualify us or make us or excuse us, pardon me, from being able to do this or having to do this. Just because we can't do it every day doesn't mean we're not having to do it at all. So as often as you do these things, these are the components that are necessary when you practice them.
That's good. Yeah, I'm good with that. Last but not least is the favor. So again, praising God and having favor with all the people, and then the Lord added to the church daily. So the catalyst to church growth, as I see it here, is worship and unity. So obviously you're not going to grow if you're not working together. And my mind goes back to like the Tower of Babel, where because they were unified, that actually God saw that great things could happen, can happen as a result of people working together. And so he then scattered them and all of that and compounded their speech. So I think about the fact that when you're willing to do all of these things, you then begin to see the favor of God. And just like you went into Ephesians 4, like God's blessing was on the fact that because they were willing to equip one another, to work together, that now his glory was shown in the church. And yes, that's when favor comes. So we don't see church growth, or we don't think of church growth as, well, I have to fellowship or I have to be Christ-like. We think of church growth as, okay, we put on an event, or, you know, we do things that are attractive and then people will then come to church and that's how we grow. Or you do programs. If your programs are not designed around this, that's not going to be attractive.
Right.
Because what attracts God is actually what matters. It's not what attracts man, it's what attracts God. So if God is attracted to you bringing glory to him, he's going to bring people in your midst that will then be attracted to the church. So I think that we kind of have it backwards. We're like, let's go attract the church. It's like, no, you need to attract God.
Worshiping
God, that's when you begin to see church growth, because you're not, if everything we do is unto the Lord, why are we doing everything as unto man in terms of trying to get the church to grow? You know,
that is so true, because we cater to people so much to get them in here and to keep them here and to keep them happy and to keep them entertained. And God is like, that does not impress me nor move me. You're not reaching heaven with that stuff. And the part that I also want to add is that praising or worshiping doesn't have to just be like, let's have a worship service when we get together. It's not just like, let's sing hymns together. That's great if y'all do that, but can we have a praise, like, can we offer praise to God? Like, it's almost like we had testimony time at Grandma Claudia's church all the time. Y'all gonna say a testimony, first giving honor to God?
Pastor, first lady.
And all the saints, right? And then, if you don't have nothing else to say, life, health, and strength, if nothing else. But the point is, we have something to praise God for. And I think that for us to share praises with one another, that connects us back to your Hebrews 10, because it's like that exhorting one another. It's encouraging each other that, like, hey, this and that's going on, but God is still good. This and that's going on, but look at what God has done in spite of these things. So I think that's an important element that we should be willing and looking for. Hey, like, do you have any praises? Not just like your needs for prayer all the time. Like, that's great to share that burden. But like, part of praying to the Lord is giving him thanks, giving him praise. Like, we should not just be always asking for stuff. Like, we should be praising him for who he is and just who he is, not just what he's done for us necessarily, but we thank him for that as well. But if you don't do anything else, you're still worthy.
Yes.
Look at everything you've already done, even beside me coming to the earth, Lord. Look at who you are. You are great. Like, we sing all these songs, but recently my heart has been like crying, because we sing songs that we're disconnected to, and we say prayers that we're not really feeling. And it's like, we need to, don't sing the lyric if your heart is just like automatically just like disconnected from it. Cause we're such an auto, like automatic, like we hear it, it resonates. Yep. Yeah. So you just sing it and you don't even really realize what's the words of the song. No, that literally is ministering to my soul when I'm singing this. And that's why when you see certain people breaking down or like getting into things, it's because they're really feeling what they're saying.
That's good. Yeah. I just have one last comment. The daily contribution led to the daily addition. So what people added within themselves added to the church. So it wasn't anything that was, this is all just about me. If your goal is to edify, you're not here to edify yourself. You get edified by coming and receiving from the Lord, but everything you do should be an extension of being able to give back to the church, to the Lord. And so when we get a mindset that church is not just for us, and why I wanted to reserve my comments about what you said in 45 is because, and I wrote the same thing, but the question I said is, would you put all of your efforts to heal or restore a weak body part? We would rest the rest of our body, or if my foot was hurt, I'd lean all my energies on the other side, and I would let this person or this body part heal in an effort to make it well.
Wow.
So that it can now be a part of the body functioning again. And we don't treat saints or situations in that sense, especially like when it comes to sins, like, we'd rather cast them off as opposed to the trying to bring them back, like helping them understand, okay, the Lord still loves you and I'm going to still love you. You can't stay there. And so that's why we're going to heal you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Unless you just want to be gangrene, then we won't cut you out. Mm-hmm. But if your goal is to be healed, like we're going to do and present our efforts in such a way as we're going to support you and rally around you, but we're not going to leave you like that.
Right.
Because I'm not just going to look around and just now be completely handicapped. I want you to be used again. So fellowship, again, Hebrews 10 was for the purpose of, if we're encouraging one another, that means that the opposite of encouraged is discouraged. So when you're discouraged, if I'm in fellowship with you, I'm going to encourage you. If you're hopeless, then I'm going to give you hope. If you're faithless, I'm going to give you faith, which all of those components are components of you having the fruit of the word and the fruit of understanding your relationship in God to be able to restore somebody when you're spiritual. So when someone is not acting spiritual, which is why they said, if you're spiritual,
yes,
you
know, if you are,
you go.
Yes.
So take your spirituality
yes.
and go then help someone else who is not in a spiritual moment.
Yes.
And that's the purpose of fellowship. Is it's not just like, hey, you're a friend, I'm a friend, let's get it in. Where are we? So I love that.
The only thing I can say, because that just in itself, wow. The only thing I can say is church is not where we go, but because we're the church, it's what we do. Like, period.
Wow. So glad I'm a student.
I am forever a student, and I will always be a student.
Well, my prayer and challenge as we kind of leave this topic is that people understand the difference between godly fellowship and just being a friend who is a believer.
Yes.
And that you're stirred to stir someone else, because if you're not doing that, what is your relationship about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the substance of that friendship if you're not stirring one another loving God?
Mm-hmm.
Because if fellowship is not the commonality, like, I'm not going to a neighborhood watch, I'm not living in a neighborhood. Like, flat out. You know what I'm saying? So up here, and this is what we're here for, like, how am I actually practicing life and faith to you? Like, I can do that in my own life and say, yeah, I read the word today, but like, if I don't then translate this word to you when you need it,
yeah,
what was the point of me reading it?
Right.
And so, like you said, church is not where we go, it's what we do. If I'm not doing it, then church wasn't anything for me if I just came and left. So, yeah, so good. And definitely,
wow.
even though I've been such a component and a proponent of this topic, so much that was even brought to me today that is just continues to just fill my heart for this topic and encourages me for the next moment. So
awesome.
Thank you for your words.
I love you so much.
Yeah, I love you too. Father, we are grateful for just your spirit. We're grateful for all that you give to us, Father. We thank you for the fellowship that we have in you.
And Lord, as we think about our fellowship with your body, I pray that we would truly walk in love, that we walk in these six components, Father, that we would resonate with this passage in such a way that it would transform our life, it would transform our relationships, and that we would not just be hearers of the word, but doers. Just as it was so pointedly stated that we are the church, and so it is a lifestyle, not just an activity that we come to each week. Father, let this be the cry of our heart, and Lord, as we walk into the world, and even as we are in circles of faith, Lord, let this truly be who we are in every relationship, and that we learn how to stir one another's love and good works and encourage to keep the hope and the confession of our faith. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to Her Bro, His Sis. Catch your favorite siblings each month as we talk to you, our family in Christ. Want to chat or just stay in the know? Catch us on Facebook and Instagram at Her Bro, His Sis.